taking a drive with my sons and my nephews has changed quite a bit in recent years. And usually this is after a sleepover when we have to have the parents connect somewhere, usually at a Walmart on the road somewhere. But there's still plenty of discussion about Minecraft in the car and other games, certainly. But I find that there's a new level of sophistication that is getting pretty impressive, quite frankly, and was not there maybe even a year ago. So it's really interesting to be part of it and to just listen as well. And given some of the things that are obviously going on in the world, and I'm not talking about even the most terrible things, but I'm saddened by the hard realities that they face as younger people along with us. And I certainly get frustrated by the often one-dimensional rush that society has chosen to do things, such as even electrifying everything that seems to roll. And I'm sure that baby strollers will soon be solar powered and power assisted at some point here. And I'm not certainly opposed to electric vehicles. I run a bus company that we have electric vehicles and continue to have more and solar power. However, nothing, as the saying goes, is free. You can't build a solar panel without lots of plastic and consuming precious commodities in the world. That creates other problems that that we have to deal with. And you cannot use batteries that are integral to Teslas and other vehicles like the ones we operate, really without having to deal with the eventual disposal of those batteries. And we seem to create more problems than we solve. But our car rides with my sons and nephews cover all of this. But getting to the point, on a recent reconnection with Shanna Rank and her boys, we started talking about the concept of the headwaters of the rivers and where these things come from. And just 50 or so miles west of where we are today here in Fort Collins, just on the other side, just barely on the other side of the Continental Divide, is where the headwaters for our prominent river here in Fort Collins, the Cashlapooter, and we don't say that with the French pronunciation, so we say it incorrectly, but it's correct for Colorado standards. But this is one of the nation's designated wild and scenic rivers. It's a beautiful river, and it's a wonderful natural resource that we, over the years, polluted and have restored. But the headwaters are there. There's a sign that if you survive Trail Ridge Road going over the other side, you see this sign and you see this little trickle that starts to come out of the ground. And it's amazing to think about where this water comes from, how it just starts to come out of the ground and becomes at some point in the year a raging river, quite frankly, and how it maintains that through most of the year. And clearly there are some rivers that do go dry, but not this one. And so just thinking about that and considering all that we've done typically to destroy one of the greatest gifts that God has created and has given to us, it's amazing that he continues to bless us with clean, pure water, just for example. And we take for granted the fact that the Cashlapooter springs out of the ground up there on top of the Continental Divide and is there day in and day out. If you go there in the middle of the night, it's flowing. Next morning, it's flowing. And it's really quite an amazing thing. It's a miracle, and because it's something God has created. And like many things God's created for us, we take for granted. And the boys and I discussed how this even works and where this seemingly endless stream of water originates from. And so you get the sense of where this sermon is going. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to a very logical place in Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 17 as we open up. Chapter 17, and we're going to focus on verses 6 and 7. But you don't need to go to the beginning part of the chapter, but I will use the early part of the chapter just to set some context for you. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded, and they camped at different places, and there was no water for the people to drink. And so they began to quarrel with Moses, as people are wont to do, and they get cranky if they don't have everything that that they expect. And it's hard to imagine the Israelites having been freed by God's hand, being crabby at all. But they challenged Moses and said, give us water to drink. And God turned to Moses turned to God, as rightly he should have. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And in verse 5, the Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there, in verse 6, before you by the rock of Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did what God instructed him to do in the sight of the elders of Israel. And then again verse 7 as we continue. And he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? But again, very much like the headwaters, God created that opportunity for the people and the animals that were part of the journey to drink and to be sustained. That's something that we always seem to forget, that we need to rely on God for those basic things that we need. Now, of course, later on in the Bible, Moses did not exactly follow God's direction concerning water and another rock. And he did pay a price for preferring to fall back on trusting his human nature rather than on trusting God and trusting in God and being very precise in his obedience. And this is something that we're all tempted to do all too often, and it is sinful. And we all often don't think of that. But I'm going to ask you now to turn to another scripture with me, Zechariah 14, as we continue to consider this concept of the water of eternal life and from whom it comes. Where does it derive from? Zechariah 14 and in verses 8 and 9. And this discusses the coming day of the Lord, which is when you read this and you take time to really consider the words, it's quite startling, but it is absolutely what we all need. So reading in verse 8, on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it to the east to the Dead Sea, and half of it west to the Mediterranean Sea in summer and in winter. Continuing in verse 9, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. So again, God is telling us how he will create not just his dominion, fulfill that, but also fulfill the living water that we all need. God never forgets what we need for life, both this life that we live today and what's to come. And he knows that we need him perhaps more than we realize each and every day, and that we will need him more and more in the time ahead of us. And if we don't get that on every single day that we live these days, we're quite frankly missing something. For my final scripture to hone in on this point, we're going to go to the end of the Bible. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to consider verses 6 and 7. And this deals with the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And as God prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, as the scripture unfolds. But reading in verse 6, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And then we'll go on and continue reading in verse 7. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One could devote an entire study of the Bible and the meaning of the flowing, living water of the Word of God. And that's what I found as I prepared for this sermonette, realizing that we have just limited time for this. But I've chosen just a few scriptures to whet your appetite, for further study. And I would suggest that we all need to do that. For all of us carrying around water bottles at work and in our cars, a study of the truly beneficial water of life from God is what is exactly essential for all of us and what we need.